The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Explore career opportunities at Dynatrace, a leading software observability and security company where your passion thrives, innovation leads, and well-being matters. Visit careers.dynatrace.com. LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am BC Marshall, founder and CEO of Diverse and Engage. I am a Wall Street alum and a LinkedIn top voice on racial equity. And I'm here with my co-host, Mita. Hey there, Mita Malik.
Hey there, DC Marshall. I'm Mita Malik, a business leader, a DE&I champion, most importantly, a mom. And my superpower is storytelling.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And listen, if you've been tuned in, you know that Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in their workplaces from my perspective as a Black woman and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman. At our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out. But the great thing about our show is we provide you with tips that you need on not how to survive, but how do you thrive in organizations? So listen, Mita, what are we talking about today?
All right, Dee, buckle up. Dee might fall out of her chair when I say this topic. Here we go. I really want to talk about this because I've been seeing it in social. I've been having some conversations with friends. What does gravitas even mean, Dee? What does gravitas even mean? So of course, I have some stories. I can see Dee shaking her head. We have some thoughts on this topic, and we're going to leave some tips on the end. And I think this one in particular is one, Dee, where I really want allies to pull up and listen up to this conversation. What does gravitas even mean? Dee, it's like an SAT word. I can't unpack.
It is. It is. And you know what? It's code language for a professional standard, or I want to say a systemic boundary intended to keep folks out of the workplace so that they would not live up. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just had to say it. Like, let's just start. We're not going to ease into this. No, this is bull crap, right? It is professional code. There's so much in this. Well, you know what? No, Dee. Let's dial it back a minute. Is there any validity in this? Like, but calm down. Breathe.
Let me tell you my story.
Tell the story. Come on, friend. Tell the story.
But I think the story is just going to only make you more passionate about this topic.
Okay, come on. Come on with it. Let's hear it. Let's hear this story.
This story is many of our stories. And I know someone listening, more than one person is going to relate to this. I was looking to get promoted. It was senior manager to director in marketing. And those are pretty big jumps in your career, right? Senior manager to director. And so I remember sitting down and getting feedback on what it would take to become a director. And this individual, he said to me, "You need to work on your gravitas. You need to have more gravitas." And I said, "Okay, you know me, writing it down, gravitas. Could you explain to me what gravitas means? Like, what do you mean in terms of gravitas? You need to have more executive presence. We need to see more executive presence. What does executive presence mean?"
Yes.
"Well, you need to have more gravitas."
Oh, stop it.
No,
stop.
I can't. There's no way. I can't make this stuff up. People think I cannot make this stuff up. Someone said to me once, "Well, you've had quite a colorful career." And I was like, "What does that mean? I have lived all of these experiences." And you know what, Dee? Doing this podcast has made me feel seen.
Yes.
And valued and heard, because we have so many women of color who reach out to us and say, "You're saying the things out loud that no one else would say, that someone said to you quietly in a conference room during a career development conversation." Because other people are like, "Who would say that to you?" I swear, I am not alone. I am not alone.
But this idea about you've had a colorful career, you know what I hear in that? Oh, that like they're picking up a lot, not knowing it is a lot. because this is our day-to-day lived experience.
It is.
That's what it is. And so if they're questioning the stories and, oh, that sounds like a lot because, you've had an interesting or colorful career. I hear in that you have a lot of stories, you have a lot of experiences. Yes, we do. Why? Because every single day there is the potential and the high likelihood when you are a woman of color that somebody is going to challenge you in terms of your skill, your ability, your being present and being in the space. So anyway, I just think that's interesting.
No, I appreciate that. I needed to hear that from you because I felt some kind of way. I felt hurt when the person said that to me. Oh, you seem to have had a colorful career. You share a lot about what's happened in your life. And I said, I have a responsibility to do that now because I know I'm not the only one this is happening to.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I hear in that is I think today's culture is showing up in new and unique ways that have never been seen. And so it's making folks and the norm, it's challenging the norms and it's making some folks uncomfortable because they've never seen it before. So when they say that part about you sharing a lot as if, and almost with there's an undertone of some negativity that that might be a bad thing versus, no, that's a unique thing and a creative expression that is unlike you, white woman, sorry, or whomever, or majority.
Yes.
Let's just say majority, right? If it's unlike majority, it's not typical for the majority. So it seems like, right, it's almost a tone of othering, and that's really not acceptable, right? It's anchoring and centering majority-ness, or it's centering whiteness, or it's centering a professional code that is now being challenged. It is not being challenged because it's a bad thing. It's being challenged, I guess it is, because it's not inclusive, and it makes anything that then women of color do appear to be wrong, right? If you have a lot of stories and you're publicly sharing them, or, you know, this is an awesome platform that we have, right? The ability to share stories here. So, all right, let's go back to this gravitas.
Yes, but it's true. But it's like, I'll put a pin in it to say you're being extra, you're being too much, you're oversharing, you're exaggerating, all of those things, right?
Okay, but that part right there, Misa, that's centering. When they say, or someone says, you're being too much, you're oversharing, what does that say about them? It's through their lens, they're anchoring on a standard that is not like sharing or whatever. And so it's still, that's exclusive behavior. That is what we're talking about.
I love that. No, it's true. And I haven't had, in all the messages we get, I haven't had a single woman of color who's reached out to say that to me and to say that to us. Now, maybe there is, and maybe there are people who feel that way. We just haven't heard from women of color who have said, you're doing too much, you're doing too much. But let's go back to I loved what you said, the gravitas, the executive presence. So here's the reality of my career. Most of my career, I've worked for tall white men. And why I say that specifically is because, as many of you know, I'm petite. I'm 5'1.5". The half's important to me. And so when I enter a room physically, it looks much different than when so many of my bosses have entered a room, just in terms of like the volume that they project versus me, the physical space they take up because they are just bigger, and the way in which they command the room and lead is bigger because physically, let's just start there. We walk into a room, physically, we are different. And then how we lead is different as well. I am much more of an introverted, quiet leader. I think for most of my career now, we'll talk about this in another podcast. I'd love to talk about this. I am selectively extroverted. I am very extroverted in the work setting, doing this podcast with you, all of the things I put out there, but I am very introverted in my social personal life, right? And that's how I recharge, and I choose to keep my circle quite close and quite tight. But going back to the professional standards, that piece, I don't even understand what gravitas means. Can we define it? What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I would say this. I think you asked the right question. Gravitas and executive presence are okay if you can define if whoever's sharing the feedback can define and describe what it is, there has to be some competency, some measurable competency, right? Versus a blanket frame.
Yeah.
So it would be okay when you can do that. And it's also okay if that standard has been tested and evaluated for its inclusiveness. If gravitas and executive presence has been the rule for the company and the standard of the majority in that company for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, and it hasn't been challenged since. Like we are in the process of revisiting and reevaluating standards that were not inclusive. Why? Because they were literally baked and anchored, rooted in an institution of a supreme being, right? White supremacy in the corporate spaces long before any of us were here. So allies listening, women of color listening, again, if you have 100-year-old institutions, let's just talk about, you know, that financial services is a very mature industry and institution, different from tech. Right? Mm-hmm. Tech is an adolescent industry.
Yes.
And so I think the first part is starting there about the need to revisit and reevaluate based on those two things. If you can describe it with a measurable competency or skill set, give feedback and say, here are the four things, here are the four measures, allies or leaders who are in the room right now.
Yeah.
Here are the three measures of gravitas of what we would want to see.
Absolutely.
Here are the three measures or behavior that we like to see here. And what it takes to win here at ABC Company in terms of executive presence. That's one. But before that, have we reevaluated these standards? Because gravitas, right? Formal definition of gravitas, dignity, seriousness of Matt, like that's the formal definition. Dignity and seriousness. So wait, are we saying you need more dignity? Like what does that mean? Do you need more serious?
need to be more serious.
I mean, no, look, that's the Merriam-Webster. I listen.
But then you know what? If I show up serious, you don't seem happy. You're not smiling enough. It's like you could never win. But what I want to say to what you said is it goes back to a lot of what we've shared at the Brown Table Talk is about feedback, giving and receiving feedback. So when the feedback is so vague, allies listen up. It's either because you haven't, like Dee said, revisited the standards for your organizations, or you actually don't know what you're talking about, or you're scared to give the real feedback, right? So like, Dee, exactly what you're saying, if you had come to me and said, Mita, you need to work on your gravitas, which I just want to retire that word, let's just say executive presence, you need to work on your executive presence. I'd love for you to project more. I'd love for you to use less ums when you're speaking.
Yes.
I'd love for you to more proactively answer questions from the audience before they're raised. Or I have some advice when people ask you questions, particularly the division president, and you're not sure what the answer is. I would say, Dee, thank you so much for that question. I think it's X. Let me get you the number by the end of the day. And so those are ways in which I think you have to be specific on what does executive presence mean? Otherwise, I am not going to be the six white, somebody start again. Otherwise, I am not going to be the 6 foot tall white man. It's just never going to happen for me. If that's the default in terms of what we believe executive presence looks like. And you know what, Dee? I went through this ridiculous point in my career. And actually, one of the companies I worked for early on assigned us an executive coach. Too bad it wasn't DC Marshall. I met her years later. This woman told me I needed to wear heels. I needed to wear makeup. Like I always should wear heels and makeup. And that's a story for another time. We talk about what it looks like to manage your appearance. That's one of our other podcast episodes. But it was like, I started to go down to this path of like, I'm trying to be someone I'll never be able to be. Because this system wasn't built for me. And I spent too long chasing that.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Imagine a workplace where your passion shapes innovation, your well-being is a priority, and your team is made up of curious and devoted people bringing bold ideas to life. That's Dynatrace, a leading observability and security company enabling software worldwide to work perfectly, even the software you might be running right now. Explore job opportunities worldwide at careers.dynatrace.com.
Will AI improve our lives or exterminate the species? What would it take to abolish poverty? Are you eating enough fermented foods? These are some of the questions we've tackled recently on The Next Big Idea. I'm Rufus Griscom, and every week I sit down with the world's leading thinkers for in-depth conversations that will help you live, work, and play smarter. Follow The Next Big Idea wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there's a couple thoughts here. So typically, gravitas, executive presence, it does anchor in the way we engage. It anchors in like emotional intelligence, EQ. So EQ, emotional intelligence, is, you know, it's your inter and your intrapersonal skills. It's how you carry and manage yourself and how you connect with other people. So it has a lot to do with your ability to engage. And the ability to engage and command a space and have presence has a lot to do with communication. So certainly it's communication skills and depth, right? So it's the content of the communication. It's the delivery of the communication. In fact, right now I'm being much more intentional about the handling of my delivery right now. Do you all hear this? I'm yes. much more intentional, right? My voice inflection sure. is stronger. And my pace, my tone and pace is different from when I started. We started the podcast just a few minutes ago. I was really animated, right? But right now, does it sound like I have a better command over my delivery? And so executive presence in a lot of ways has to do with presence, being present and having presence and having a, and I hate to use this, but a lot of times going back to the tall male in the room, it's big presence and not always physical, because not everybody has a physical presence. But when you don't have a physical presence or a presence that looks like the standard or centers on, you know, the majority population or centers on whiteness, is having a presence in terms of command of the room that comes through communication, engagement, and your ability to step up and own the space, take up space.
Oh, but don't take up too much space.
But don't take up too much space. Don't be too much. Too much. You're too much. D, you're too, me too, it's too much. So yeah, I hope we're answering the question about, well, what is gravitas? And I will say this, one of the things that I appreciate in the story is you asking, right? Everyone, we have to ask. So part of it, I'm going to tell you another theme that comes up in this. You need more gravitas or more executive presence. And then you ask the question, well, you know, can you give some specifics? It's, yep, we have to push back. You know why? Because there's an expectation that you should know what it is. And then there's judgment in some ways.
Absolutely.
With the potential of judging, oh, she doesn't even know what the executive presence is. No, I know. And in fact, let me give you this. One of the things that early on in my career, at Diverse and Engage in executive coaching, I'd have a lot of women who would say, well, I don't want them to think that I don't know something, or
wow,
I don't know what they're talking about. And one of the ways to have a conversation is to respond. When you say executive presence, what does that mean for you?
I love that.
Or when you say gravitas, what does that mean here at ABC Company?
That's amazing.
Do you see?
I love that.
And
I
because
that.
It's I know what executive presence is, but I want to.
That you want to be on the same page.
That's right. That's
same
right. I want to make sure I'm on the.
And you're working from the
that's
same.
That's right.
Same definition, same source. I want to ask our WBs, our white boy friends. Many who love Brown Table Talk podcast, please, I'm interested, reach out to us. I want to know if you've ever been given the feedback that you need more gravitas or you need more executive presence.
I love
this.
This
is when you're like on your journey to be an ally, particularly trying to be an ally for women of color. As you're hearing these stories, that's exactly what we've talked about. As Dee always says, like, if it's not your lived experience, as you said, pause and reflect before you engage and give feedback and think about how you can help. And so I'm super curious if any WVs listening have ever been given that feedback and what that's felt like and what you've done about it. Because for me, I will say, I am throughout my career and continue to be usually the only one who looks like me in rooms. So if I am not the majority, and the definition around gravitas and executive presence, as you were saying, Dee, was created with the majority in mind, it's then really hard for me. Like, I'm not sure what that means or what I should be doing, because what executive presence looks like for me is very different for other people. And as you've just said, it's creating a more inclusive definition around it.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And the last thing that I'll say before we move to our tips is it really frustrates me that there is this, the scenario of you walking into a room and you'll never be a six foot tall male, white male. And so automatically there's that, right? You're 5'1" and a half. Actually, I'm 5'4" and a half, and the half is important.
Yes, it is.
But I hate that. I really am frustrated that that is just a thing that the human behavior associates height and with stature and presence, particularly in corporate. Because again, if you are petite, if you are a woman, there's an immediate bias that you are less than in physical presence is such an unfortunate thing, because they could all report to you, and they have. Listen, Misa, do the people know that you're the real boss? Like, look, do they? I mean, they have. And I've shared stories of clients of where, you know, the executive sponsor, the C-suite, a petite Black woman wearing a suit, and her Adidas. Right? We've had this conversation. I forget what episode it is, but on, you know, and that sometimes for all of our sister friends here, our brown girlfriends here, you know, sometimes you do have to strategically manage. I hate that it's that way.
You have to.
But
you
I will to. Tell you, there have been times where that is the one thing that you do really have to participate in a game that was not really set up for us to be more strategic. I have strategically, we've talked about this. I got to put on a blazer with my leggings and my Adidas, like, because I just can't go in with the hoodie.
Listen, I told you, it's we just talked not about gonna this go in a prior over. Episode. Please go back and listen. I don't have the privilege to wear a hoodie. I
we
can't show up
privilege.
In a hoodie to work. I don't have a privilege. So, Dee, what I will say, and this is actually from our time together as you've coached me over the years, as we get into tips, like, I have really embraced what executive presence means to me. And so what that means is if I'm going to events in person or meetings in person, I always show up early. That's important to me. I always work the room. Yeah. In the hallway before the meeting. I do wear heels. It makes me feel more confident. I do in person now tend to wear a lot of color or wear, like, as you were saying, like a signature item. I love my Blossom Box jewelry. Thank you, Reka.
Yes.
So those are the things that I do, right, to make myself feel more comfortable. And because I do tend to be a little quieter, I have worked on projecting my volume over the years. So me thinking that I'm loud is not loud enough. Right. And so I think about all of that. And Dee, I want to talk about this for a future episode. Someone told me I have a tall Zoom personality. Let's talk about that later. But a tall Zoom personality.
You have a tall Zoom personality?
So when they met me in person, they were shocked. Because again, how you manage executive presence on screen, it's very freeing. It's very different, right? Than when all of a sudden height becomes involved in person. So I'll leave it at that. Dee, we're out of time. We're moving to tips. We are moving to tips, my friend. So as you're all listening, we've been talking about what does gravitas mean, and we want to leave some tips at the end of this episode. I'm going to turn it over to Dee for one and two, and then I'm going to close with a third for our allies listening in.
Awesome. And number one, ask for clarity. And what that sounds like is when you say gravitas, what does that mean? And can you give the competencies, what would be the top three competencies or behaviors under gravitas? So that's number one. And then number two, ask for specifics pertaining you. So what specifically should I work on from this larger, greater definition? Because we are not making assumptions that all of it is you. You're asking for very specific feedback. And so, Mita, how about number three?
Number three, I love what you said about inclusive language and making sure standards are equitable for all. And I'm just going to make a push. I think we need to stop using the word gravitas. I think we need to reevaluate some of the terms and standards and what does executive presence mean. And as I shared, it looks like it's different for everybody. It's not one size fits all. So with that, my friends, thank you so much. We love you, our community. Thank you for listening to Brown Table Talk podcast. If you have loved this conversation, please share it with someone who needs to hear this today. Leave a review, send us a message, let us know how you're liking our conversations, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.